Please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is from the gospel according to Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. Let us hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she would be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her sin, her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. There was a community that really prided itself on how well they took care of their citizens. This community was wonderful, had all kinds of benefits for living there. The leaders regularly looked for ways to improve their community. Well, one day they heard about a great teacher, and they heard that this great teacher had a lot of wisdom to impart to people. So they sent for the great teacher. And on the day that was appointed, the great teacher showed up at the town hall. All the people gathered together in that hall. And the great teacher walked up to the podium, and she put her book down and she opened it up. And she said, "Do you know what I'm here to tell you today?" And everybody shouted, "Yes." And she says, "Well, then you don't need me." She closed the book, took her book, and walked away. Well, they were a little perplexed, so they sent an emissary to go and ask the great teacher to come back. So she agreed, and she came back. And on the day that was appointed, all the people gathered together in the town hall, and the great teacher walked up to the podium, opened up her book, and she said, "Do you know what I am here to teach you today?" And they said, "No." She says, "Well, then you're ignorant." And she shut the book, and she walked out. Well, the town leaders were now convinced she had something great to share with them. They just knew that she had words of wisdom that they needed to hear. And so they asked her, they begged her, they pleaded with her to please come back. And she agreed. The people gathered together in the town hall. She showed up, she walked up to the podium, she opened up her book, and she said, "Do you know what I am here to teach you today?" They were ready for her. Half of the people said no, half the people said yes. And she said, "Well, then those of you who know can tell those who don't know." She shut her book and she left. Oh, they were frustrated. Really frustrated. But they had been reassured by other people that this woman had a lot of wisdom. They really needed to hear what she had to say. So it took some convincing, but they finally managed to get her to come back. And on the day that was appointed, the whole town gathered together in the hall. She walked up to the podium, she opened up her book, and she said to them, "Do you know what I am here to teach you today?" Nobody said a word. And she said, "Good, for now you are ready to listen." God has a lot of things to share with us. Sometimes, most times, we're too busy to listen. Or else we've already made up our mind what answer we want. God wants us to be still and know that He is Lord. To open up our hearts to His Holy Spirit. To let us lead Him. Not to let us let Him lead us. I'll get that out yet. Proverbs chapter 3. Lean not onto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Trust in Him. Here we are in Mark 5. A couple of things happen before the woman with the issue of blood. One is Jesus is out in the boat and a big storm rises up. The disciples go to Him. He's sleeping in the boat. And He said, aren't you worried we're going to die? And He says, oh, ye of little faith. And He gets up and He rebukes the wind and the waves. And the storm quits. And they are in awe. Then they put in at the Gerasenes. At the Gerasenes, there's a man who is possessed by many demons. He's totally out of his mind. And he comes running up to Jesus. Jesus takes control. And He casts those demons out of that man into a herd of pigs. They rush down the hill into the sea. The man is in his right mind. He's got clothes on. He's bathed. And the people in that community are afraid of Jesus. They ask Him to leave. So Jesus leaves, and when He puts in, when they get to shore and He gets out, there's a crowd of people there already waiting for Jesus. Word travels fast, and everybody knows that this is the man who is from God, who has been performing miracles, who has opened up the eyes of the blind, unstopped the ears of the deaf, made the lame to walk, and even raised the dead, healed the leper. And so these people all gather around. Then a leader from the synagogue, a Jewish leader from the synagogue, goes up to Jesus and says, listen, my little girl is at home dying. She's about 12 years old. She says, won't you please come to my house, lay your hands on her so she'll get better. And Jesus says, yes, I will. And so they begin walking through the village, headed for Jairus' house. Now, villages in those days, their lanes weren't much wider than this. They didn't have two lanes. They didn't have automobiles zipping by each other. But they had narrow alleyways running throughout the town. And so as Jesus and Jairus were walking side by side on their way to Jairus' house, the crowd, all the disciples, the people from around the town, spectators, many of them, they were all crowded around Jesus and Jairus, pushing up against them, helping them as they were walking to Jairus' house. I'm going to ask, I know it's only my second week, after I get to know you better, I won't ask, I'll go around and point at you. But today I'll ask. I need, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... I need at least 5 volunteers. There's 1. Don't get up. There's 2. 3 more. There's 3. 4. 1 more. Who's going to be that 5th one? There we go. 5. Come on up here. I'm not going to make you sing. I'm not going to make you dance. I tell you, you want to hear next week's sermon about Peter getting out of the boat. Okay, stand here, big fella over here. Suzanne, can you just turn around right here? You can be, we'll make you Jesus. So you're going to stand right behind her, right here. Brian, right here. Stephanie, right here, turn. Okay, all 3 of you put your hands on Suzanne's shoulder. Connie? You're the little old lady. Back up here. All right. Some of us learn by seeing, which is why I like to do this. Here's this woman with this issue of blood. Jesus and Jairus are on their way to Jairus' house to see his little girl. There are people, all kinds of people, crowded around Jesus and Jairus. And they're not just 2 people deep. We're talking a pile of people crowding down this alleyway as they're headed for Jairus' house. There's this woman with this issue of blood. For 12 years, she's had this issue of blood. Do you know what that issue of blood means for her? Well, one, it means she's sick, frail. Also means she has spent all the money she has trying to find a doctor, trying to find a cure for her problem. You figure for 12 years it isn't killing her. I tell you what, it may not be physically killing her, though she may be wasting away. Socially, she's an outcast. According to Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, it says that if a woman has a discharge of blood past what's normal for her monthly time, if she has a discharge, she's unclean, considered unclean. And if anybody touches her, if you come into contact in those in that day and age, if you touched anybody that had a discharge, not just of blood, but any bodily fluid, if you touched them, you were socially unclean. You were not allowed to mingle with anybody, not allowed to hold your grandchildren, not allowed to hug your spouse. You couldn't go out shopping. You couldn't bump into anybody. Because if you did, you had to go to the priest, give them an offering, and the priest had to pronounce you clean so that you can go back to living your life again. So for 12 years, this woman has been socially unclean, an outcast. And it says that she suffered under the care of many doctors. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease. She's tried everything. And she is emotionally, spiritually bankrupt. She's a desperate woman. Tried everything the world has to offer. Nothing helped. And then somebody, Scripture says that somebody told her about Jesus. Somebody realized she had a problem, she had a need, and they knew Jesus could take care of that need. And so they went to her and they told her the good news about Jesus. And she listened to that report and she believed what she heard. She believed in her heart that if she touched Jesus, it would change her life. And so she turns her back on what the world says she's allowed to do and not allowed to do. She turns her back on the world, no longer conforms to its pattern, and says, I've made up my mind that Jesus is the number one priority in my life. And she goes out into the public where she's not allowed to be. And she summons up the strength and the courage to work her way through this crowd, a crowd that a professional football player would have a hard time getting through. But this little old lady who's been bleeding for 12 years, been sick, she forces her way through that crowd. And she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Wait, let me join in there, Connie. Okay, go ahead. You touch Suzanne. Okay. Oh, yeah, she did it. Touches the hem of his garment. Thank you. You guys can sit, please. Thank you. Now, here's the really cool part. Let those who have ears hear. Did you ever drag your feet walking across the floor in wintertime? And you reach out and touch somebody, and they're zap. You know, that static electricity? It was kind of like that when this woman with the issue of blood touches Jesus' garment. Because he felt it. Jesus felt it. She felt it. There was power that came out of Jesus and went into her and healed her right now. Jesus didn't turn around and say, what do you want? What's the problem? Let's talk about this. This is what you have to, none of that. In fact, it doesn't say, but dollars to donuts, she came up behind him. He wasn't even looking. She touched him. And power leaps out of him. Now everybody else was touching him. All these other people hanging all over him while he's walking down the road. Nothing was happening then. There was no power jumping out of him into them then. What was the difference? She had faith. And not just faith, because his disciples had faith. They were touching him. She had a need. Well, you know what? She did have a need. She had a pretty serious need.
those disciples are also human. All us humans, we always got needs. There's something really important I'm after here. She had faith. She had a need. She expected something to happen. Yeah, she believed with her heart, but she expected something to happen. She had an expectant faith, an expectant need. She believed that when she touched him, something would happen. We come to church a lot because it's the right thing to do, because we like to come to church. We come to make somebody else happy. But we don't always come to church expecting power to come to us. We don't always come to church expecting a change in our lives. You know, we're sitting in the presence of Almighty God, the creator of the whole universe. Where two or more are gathered together in his name, there is he in the midst of them. But this woman, she touches him and she is instantly healed. Because when you touch Jesus, when you do whatever it takes, when you do what this woman did, and you turn your back on the cares of the world, and you don't care what rules and regulations or anything are, nothing is more important in life than Jesus, something happens. There's power that comes to us. Jesus said that we have to love him more than we love our children, our spouses, our family. We have to love Jesus more than we love life itself. Jesus has to be our number one priority. And when we do that, things happen. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get rid of the wheelchair, though that might happen. Because God is more concerned about our spirit being whole and healthy than anything else. But I'll not deny that there's been miracles too. Because the power of Almighty God, there's no greater power in the whole world. Not in all the universe. And this woman was healed because she touched Jesus with an expectant faith. Just like we were telling the kids, there's lots of ways to touch Jesus. Church, singing praises to God, reading scriptures, praying, hanging out with other Christians, even in church, coming to the altar rail, raising your hands. Us Methodists don't do that too much. You know, if you weren't here for my first sermon, then you don't know that I was raised Catholic till I was 13. So I love all the pomp and ceremony. I love high church. And then I went to a Methodist church, and I love the holiness of heart and the laid-backness of our services, the personal touch. And then we left that. We went to a non-denominational, charismatic, speaking tongues, get slain in the spirit church. I like to raise hands. And that's scriptural, too. It's not because of the church. It's because of the Bible. But it also says to me, when I do this, it says to God, I care more about God than I do about what people think about me. And it's not because I get paid to do that. Because I love Jesus. Well, I could go on and on and on and belabor the point, but I won't. That woman with that issue of blood, she did whatever it took to touch Jesus. Now, maybe you have a need in your life and you need to touch Jesus like you never have before. Maybe you know somebody. I'm sure you do. You know somebody who needs to hear the good news, just like somebody told that woman with the issue of blood about Jesus. Maybe you need to go and tell somebody, I know what you need. I know the one who can set you free. You need to touch Jesus. Maybe we just need to share that good news with somebody. Because we sure do live in a hurting world, and these are bad times, and they're just getting worse. So we need to stand up and be the church. We need to share the good news that if you touch the hem of Jesus' garment, there's power. God loves you, and so do I.